Satan is not against good morals. He is opposed to Jesus Christ.
Now's the time to act. Our society is rotten to its core. I'm talking about fine standing folks. Got the enough of cat and jobs pulled out from under. Yeah, you know what to do. Now's the time. Do it.
Greetings, listeners. In this Shadow Short, I will be talking with Steve Ray. This is a follow-up to our interview, the interview with his study guide on Genesis. We talk about Jacob here. It was intended in the original interview to mention this little bit about Jacob because of the importance of this story. It had been skipped. Here's a great opportunity to go ahead and inject that into the podcast. Hope you enjoy Steve Ray talking about Jacob.
Welcome to Truth and Shadow, your guide through the supernatural. I am your host, BT, and this is a Shadow Short. Let's navigate the unknown on this brief journey into the depths of mystery.
We'll talk about Jacob, Isaac's son, and you detail it well in your study book here in Genesis.
Yeah, there's so much packed into that. And the whole, the name of Jacob, it means crook, cheater, trickster. It means a supplanter. He grabs his brother's heel. He wants to be the first one out. And Esau is the firstborn. Jacob is not happy with that. He always wants to be the first. And he ends up cheating his brother into selling his birthright to him. And then lying to his father to get the blessing, and all of a sudden the secondborn becomes the firstborn with all the blessings of the firstborn. And because of this, Esau, he's the hairy man, all red and hairy. He's the guy that goes out hunting and brings back red meat for his father. He's the tough guy. And Jacob tends to be kind of the mama's boy, stays back in the tents, not hairy, smooth skin. And Esau's going to kill him. And Jacob has not talked to God yet. God has talked to his grandfather. They've had communications. God has given him the covenant. He's talked to his father, Isaac. God has come to Isaac. Now, Isaac, the father, he's kind of the link between Abraham and Jacob, the two really interesting characters. Isaac is kind of boring. He never does anything heroic. He never does anything really noteworthy. The most noteworthy thing he does is he's the link between Abraham and Jacob. But Jacob comes along now, and he's going to cheat again. God has never spoken to him yet. He's called by God to be the one who's going to carry the line of the Messiah. It's going to go through his seed, through his offspring. He doesn't really, I think, know all of that yet. He's still just all about himself. And he lays down there, I don't think, and God has never spoken to him yet. He's had no personal relationship, no personal contact with this God of heaven that his grandfather and father knew so well. And there he's sleeping, and all of a sudden he sees this vision. And the visions and dreams are used a lot in the Bible. In fact, 38% of every time visions and dreams are used in the Bible, it's in the book of Genesis. Genesis is loaded with visions and dreams more than any other book of the Bible. And Jacob has this dream, and there's a ladder, or it's the only time the word is used in the Hebrew Bible, so we really don't. It means stairway or steps or connecting between heaven and earth. And there's angels going up and down on the ladder. He's at the bottom looking up, and God the Father is up at the top. And you get the impression that this is the division between heaven and earth, and there's a ladder somehow that is going to connect the two. And so he wakes up, and God says, I'm going to fulfill the covenant I promised to Abraham through you. I'm going to send you up to find a bride, and I'm going to bring you back, and I'm going to do these things for you. Now, look at how Jacob responds differently than his grandfather did. When God came to Abraham, every time Abraham said, here I am, Lord. When Jacob did, he's amazed that this all happens, and the first thing out of his mouth is the word if. He said, okay, you just told me you're going to do all of this. Well, what Jacob does is he plays, let's make a deal. It's like that TV show, let's make a deal. So he kind of tells God, in a way, sit down and we're going to hash this out and negotiate here. If I go to this land And if I find a bride, and if you bring me back, and if you keep this promise, and if you do this, then you will be my God. I'm not committing anything to you yet. I'm not going to commit anything to you. I'm already on my way up to Haran to get a bride. I didn't need you to come along. I'm already on my way to get her. But if all of what you just said is true, and if I actually get there and I find her and I get back and I do have food and I do have these things, then I'll make you my God. So this is, but God, he knows what his plan is. And in the book, I mentioned several times that he draws straight with crooked lines. And he chooses people according to his own plan. Not Esau, he chose Jacob. Not Cain, he chose Abel. Not Ishmael, he chose Isaac. All of these are second-born sons, not first-born sons. And so God chooses a way he wants to. And he even takes sinful men and sinful actions and uses them for the good. And the classic example of that in Genesis is when Joseph is sold by his brothers into being a slave into Egypt and becomes the second under Pharaoh in charge of all the land. When his brothers came, they found out who he was. They're terrified. And he says, "Do not be afraid. What you meant for evil, God meant it for good." In other words, God always he can take what's evil. And by the way, that just drives the devil absolutely bonkers, that everything he tries to do to thwart God, God can turn it into the good. For all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Okay, now let's get to the typology. What does this mean, this ladder? What did he see? Well, in John chapter, I'm going to go there because it's so much better than I can paraphrase. Sometimes I paraphrase things because they're long, and but I like to read certain things like this because they're so good. Now, Nathanael is one of the disciples, but before he becomes a disciple, he's sitting under a fig tree, and we don't know what he's doing, but usually the Jews would sit under a fig tree to get out of the sun, and they would read this Torah, and they'd study scripture or something. And Jesus said, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." And Nathanael says, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Look at the faith this guy has. I mean, the Pharisees couldn't catch on, but Nathanael, just a simple guy under a fig tree, catches on right away. Jesus answered, and here we go. "You believe because I saw you under a fig tree, you believe? You're going to see greater things than these. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Now, that is a direct inference, quote, back to the story of the ladder of Jacob. Jesus is saying that ladder is the connection between heaven and earth, and you'll see angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. In other words, what is the ladder? The ladder is the Son of Man. Jesus is the ladder. Angels go up and down. There's one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. Why? Because we're down here in our sin, and he's up there in his holiness, and that chasm we can't cross that chasm. There's no way we can go across, but all of a sudden there's a ladder. And it's Jesus, and it's his cross. His cross, you can see, is a bridge. The bridge between sinful man and the holiness of God. He's made a way for us to go on that bridge. And then it's interesting, he says, Jesus, and where does it go here? "You are the Son of God, King of Israel." He said, "You saw me under this fig tree." He said, "Truly you are..." Earlier, he said this, "Truly, you are an Israelite in whom there is no guile." That's verse 47. "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit or guile." Now, that verse is referring to Jacob because it's only two times as the word Israelite used in the New Testament. And Israel was the name of Jacob, right? Jacob was given the name Israel later. So Jesus is saying about Nathanael, you are an Israelite, a descendant of Jacob, but in whom there is no Jacob. In other words, in whom there is no deceit or guile. That's what Jacob's name means. Jacob's name means deceit, guile, trickery. So in a way, Jesus said, okay, here you are truly an Israelite in whom there is no Jacob. He's transposing the two names of Jacob, Israel and Jacob. And he says, Nathanael, you are Israel, but you're not like your father, the deceitful one, Jacob. So you see that passage there is so beautiful, and it's explaining Jesus as the bridge who's going to get us to heaven. Now, there's another dealing with typology. I'm sitting here looking at a big icon on my wall. It's 5 feet long. It's 18 inches high. It's the whole half of a beam of log. It's round. It's like a log, and it's on my wall. And on the right-hand side is Jacob, and he's holding the ladder in his hand. Where I got this, they told me that it's probably from 800 AD. From a church in the East, an Eastern church. And it's an image of Jacob with a ladder in his hand. And he's holding also a banner with Greek letters on it. And when I saw this, a friend gave it to me. It's got to be worth $50,000. I have no idea. It's just there. I just love it. But the words on the ladder are, hail, I beheld in a dream, hail, blessed virgin, who is the ladder that brings God down to us. In other words, Mary is the ladder of Jacob also. Sometimes types can be two things. Mary is also viewed by the Eastern Church as the ladder because she, being the ladder, brought God. Not only is it a way that we can get up to him, but she's the ladder that brought him down to us, so that he could become a man and die for us. And in the Eastern liturgy, it's called the Akathist. It's a hymn of the Theotokos, the hymn of the God-bearer Mary. It says, hail, heavenly ladder, by whom God came down. Hail, bridge, leading earthly ones back to heaven. So Mary is a picture of that. And it's not just the Eastern Church, because Pope Pius IX said, the sublime and singular privilege of the Blessed Virgin, the fathers beheld her as the ladder which Jacob saw reaching from heaven to earth. That was in one of his encyclicals, Ineffabilis Deus, that Mary is the ladder. The father saw this. So the whole story of Jacob's ladder is take time to meditate, find out where, oh, it's mentioned in John chapter 1, that he was an Israelite in whom there's no God, and you're going to see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man, which then interprets that type of the ladder as being Jesus Christ and his cross, which bridges the gap between God and heaven, and it's also Mary, which brings God down to us. So when you take a look at these wonderful types of the book of Genesis, and it's loaded with them, it just makes Christianity, it makes the Bible, it makes the Catholic Church, it makes the New Testament and the Old Testament just come alive. Catholics tend not to like the Old Testament because it's old. Why would I want the old when I can have the new? Like if we're going to have a party, Brendan, and we have a bunch of pizzas and everybody loves the pizzas, but there's a bunch left over. And so for your birthday next year, we'll say, well, we'll save those pizzas and bring them out at your birthday next year. But we're going to need to get some new pizzas because, you know, the old wasn't enough. So we have a table full of the pizzas from last year and a table full of piping new pizza. Where are you going to go eat? You're not going to go to the table with the old pizza. Why? Because it's old. And that's how Catholics view the Old Testament. Why would we want to lower that book when we have the New Testament? But the Old Testament is crucial. It's the foundation of everything that's in the New.
All these fancy words to spend time in scripture, Lictio Divina and things like that. And they're all these fancy words. And all we're just trying to say is spend a little bit of time in the Bible, spend some time in the Torah.
Absolutely.
It's all there. Jesus loved it. He was brought up on the first five books of scripture.
Take a passage and meditate on it. I have this big problem, Brendan. I cannot read more than one verse at a time. I know you're supposed to start and read through the whole thing, but I start reading and immediately I come to, indeed, you're an Israelite, indeed, in whom there's no deceit. Wait a minute. What does that mean? Is that referring to, oh, and then all of a sudden I got to dive in. I've got to pull the commentaries off the shelf. I've got to find out what the original words meant. I've got to find out. And that just what it makes it so exciting. If you ask my wife, if Steve had a free day, what would he do? Oh, he'd study the Bible and write about it. So.
The
Thank you for listening. This is a free podcast based upon the value for value model. If you find value in this or any episode, you can return that value by liking the show, subscribing to this channel, leaving a review, or sharing with a friend on your social media accounts. You can also donate on my website. Thank you again. This is BT for Truth and Shadow Podcast. You are the light in the darkness.